Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We're very thankful to have the sweet privilege of coming to you in your home, your automobile, wherever you may be listening this morning. As you've tuned in, I trust that you'll see fit to pray for us. Pray God would bless us together to look into the glorious truths of His Word, to the glory of His name, and to the upbuilding of your soul. I want to read to you this morning from the 27th division of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 27, verses 2 and 3. A very lovely passage of Scripture. Isaiah 27, verses 2 and 3. In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment. Lest any hurt it, I will keep it night and day. Again, verse 2. In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment. Lest any hurt it, I will keep it night and day. The kingdom of God is here compared to a vineyard, as it is frequently throughout the Scriptures. It's a vineyard of God's planting, a vineyard of God's tending, a vineyard of God's care. God has a kingdom in this world. It is, as it were, an unseen river that flows across the vast expanse of this globe on which we live. This unseen kingdom has carried forward the cause of God and truth and has comforted and consoled the hearts and minds of God's people since it was set up in this world. It is God's spiritual domain in this world, His spiritual rule and reign in this world. And in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ frequently gives us parables concerning the kingdom of God in this world into which our God sends laborers. And in John 15, He tells us that He's the vine, that the kingdom of God is a mighty vine, and He is that vine, and you and I are branches of that vine, which is representative of His kingdom in this world. So here, a vineyard of red wine. The kingdom of God here is likened unto a vineyard. A vineyard is a horticulture area that grows grapes. They are grapevines. And here it's said that it's a vineyard of red wine. The kingdom of God is likened unto a vineyard of grapes, of red wine. The red grape was the best grape grown in Palestine. And God's kingdom is to Him the best of the best, the most excellent of all the earth. He's made it so. He delights in His kingdom on the face of the earth. And I have no doubt that the kingdom is called a vineyard of red wine because it's the fruit. The kingdom of God in this world is the fruit of Christ's blood, symbolized to us in the red wine of the communion cup. that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ memorializes the blood of Christ with, his shed blood. And all the plants of this vineyard spring from and live in and bear fruit from one vine, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The red wine not only represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also represents the fruit of the believer's trials in the kingdom of God. As the wine is squeezed from the grape in the wine press, so the believer brings forth fruit unto God as he's pressed and squeezed by the well-ordered afflictions of divine providence that make us more humble and teachable and bring us closer and nearer and dearer. And we learn more about the glorious attributes of our precious shepherd as we experience the wine press of providence. Now, a vineyard's a piece of ground that is specifically chosen and separated from the rest of a man's property. And so the kingdom of God is chosen and separated from the rest of the world to be God's vineyard. A vineyard is fenced in the Middle East. Vineyards were fenced in to keep out the wild animals that would destroy it. Isaiah tells us of the vineyard of God, his kingdom in this world, that he fenced it, and he gathered out the stones thereof, and he planted it with the choicest vine, and he built a tower in the midst of it. It's fenced, it's protected, it's provided for. A vineyard is deliberately planted. It does not spring up of its own, just by nature. And the kingdom of God is deliberately planted and provided for in this world. It's not a product of this wicked world system in which we live. It's here by the providential planning of God's care. And speaking of care, lastly, vineyard requires constant care. It has to be pruned. Stones have to be gathered out of it. It has to be watered with care. And it must be constantly watched over. In our text, the Lord God declares that this is his work. I, the Lord, do keep it, he says. And I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Without question, the kingdom of God is his vineyard. But let me say, every local saint is a part of the kingdom of God. And all that is promised to the kingdom of God, the whole extends to every individual believer. The Lord God who keeps the whole vineyard keeps every individual branch of the vine. His care extends even to the small branches and to every leaf. So the promise of our text today is, while it extends to the whole vineyard, the whole kingdom, it extends to every little branch of the vine of our Father's planting, every believer, every member of the body of Christ, all who are in Christ, bought with his blood, grafted in by divine grace, drawing life from him by the power of regeneration and the new birth by faith. The Lord God is the keeper of his vineyard, and we are his vineyard. He says, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Let that truth resonate. Do you sometimes feel like that you're cast adrift in the sea, that it's up to you, that you've got to do the very best that you can to maintain yourself and keep yourself? Well, if you're the Lord's, this is his incredible promise to you. It's over the top. He said, I, the Lord, do keep it, every little branch. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. You remember Augustus Toplady, the old Baptist preacher back in the 1600s that wrote Rock of Ages. Well, listen to what he wrote about God's caring for his little tender plants in his kingdom. Top Lady said, "Upon my leaf, when parched with heat, refreshing dew shall drop. The plant which thy right hand hath set shall ne'er be rooted up. Each moment watered by thy care and fenced with power divine, fruit to eternal life shall bear, the feeblest branch of thine." How wonderful is that glorious truth? It doesn't matter how small and fragile you feel to be, just a feeble little branch. If you're connected to the vine, to the kingdom of God, which is rooted in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be cared for. You're kept by God. God says, "I, the Lord, do keep it." And that's what God has promised to do to his vineyard, to his kingdom, to all of his people, to every one of us who are branches in Christ the vine of his planting. We are kept, we're tended, we're protected and guarded by God himself. I love this passage of scripture in Psalm 121. I read it often. Listen to what he says. David says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills that were round about Jerusalem, natural defenses." And so David says, "From whence cometh my help? Do they come from these hills that are round about Jerusalem?" Listen to what he says. "No, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, the God that made the hills round about Jerusalem." This is what he says. The Lord promised he'll keep his vineyard. David says that the Lord will not suffer our foot to be moved. "He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper." So listen, you can lay your head down at night and sleep in sweet peace and rest, because the God of Israel, there's no reason for both of you to stay up at night, no reason for you to sit up at night and wring your hands. Listen, if worrying and fretting and being full of anxiety would get you anywhere, I'd say do all of it that you possibly can. But an old timer said that worrying is like sitting in a rocking chair. It won't get you any. It'll give you something to do, but it's not going to get you any place. You can rock all day long, but you're not going anywhere. Worry all day long, but you're not going anywhere. There's no reason to sit up at night. There's no reason for you to vex yourself with anxiety, because he that keepeth Israel, he that keepeth his kingdom and his tender plants, he that keepeth shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, Jehovah, is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Now, friends, I know that I need keeping, and I trust that I'm one of God's children, chosen by divine grace, redeemed by the blood of Christ, called by the Holy Spirit. But I know that I need keeping. My foes are many. I know that Satan is offended by me, as I've tried in my weak way, in my feeble way, to serve him. And I know that he has sent foes over the course of the years, foes from without and foes from within, as sad as it is to say. Our foes are many, but like a tender vine, I have no strength or ability to prevent them from destroying me. What can a vine do? Nothing. If I'm kept, God must keep me. Like a vine planted in the midst of a field, we're exposed to all sorts of perils and dangers. We need keeping. Satan, the archenemy of our souls, does everything within his power to uproot the vine that God has planted. If Satan had his way with you, if he had his way with you and I, we wouldn't possess a grain of grace, just a little pebble of grace. If Satan had his way, we wouldn't have a spark of faith. He's like a roaring lion, ever seeking whom he may devour. He desires not only to sift us as wheat, but to burn us as chaff. The fiend of hell would destroy us if he could. And so our Savior taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. from the evil one, if we really knew Satan's power and his malice toward us, we would never, ever cease to give thanks to know that Christ is praying that we might be kept from the evil one, as he prayed in the high priestly prayer in John 17. Oh, my friends, how we need keeping. If we had no other adversary than the devil, we couldn't stand for even one moment. But by God's keeping, we are kept. But we have other adversaries. A vine in the wilderness is exposed to wild animals. Wild boar would come through and dig it up and devour its roots. And we have them in our life. Oftentimes, we're like that dear father of the young boy who was possessed with demonic influence. And he was sharing his misery with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told the Savior that his son would be around a fire and the demonic influence would catch him and would cause his son to throw himself into the fire. And he begged Christ for deliverance. And Jesus looked at him and he said these words. He asked him, he said, "Do you believe?" And listen to the man's response. He said, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." And that's your experience, friends. We do believe. We do trust in the Lord. But unfortunately, we still bear about our weak and feeble human nature. And unbelief, the wild boar of unbelief, would raise its head up and would root out the vine out of the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, we as God's people ought never to doubt. We should not doubt, but I know that we do. There are many times when I cannot read my title clear. I love to sing that song, "When I Can Read My Title Clear to Mansions in the Sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes." But I can't. There are times when I can't read my title clear. And let me say, I don't doubt my Lord, but I often doubt my interest in him. Sometimes, like Thomas, I sometimes will not believe because I cannot see. And like Peter, sometimes I take my eyes off the Savior and I start looking at the troubled sea around about me. I start looking at the waves of difficulty and problems and trials. And were it not for God who keeps his vineyard, that old wild boar of unbelief would destroy my vine. Yet, friends, it's often worse when I look at my own self, when I look at my weakness, when I look at my sins. I'm still a sinner, and my sins often rise up in front of me like great waves. And there the accuser of the brethren, as Satan is called in the Word of God, he constantly throws our sin in our faces. And when he can't sink us with sin, then he floods our minds with horrible pride and self-righteousness, and pride causes us to look down on others and make us feel good and smug about ourselves. And let me say this, when pride causes us to make us feel good about ourselves, we don't feel our need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it separates us in fellowship from our precious and beloved Savior. When pride doesn't destroy us, when unbelief is not raging against us, when our sins are not being hurled up in our face, then often apathy and indifference comes into us, and we get complacent, and we get like the lazy Docians, as my father used to call the Laodiceans. We get like the lazy Docians. We're half-baked. We're like a silly dove. We're done on one side, half-baked bread. That's what the Lord called Israel in Hosea. He said, "You're a cake not done." We're just like half-baked, indifferent Christians. We're done on one side, and we're not done on the other side. We're lukewarm. We're neither hot nor cold. Oh, my friends, there are so many things to overwhelm us. One old preacher said that there are small insects, unseen pests, quiet worms that might easily destroy a vine, just as much as the wild boar or a raging lion. In fact, it's easier to detect the larger dangers than the small ones. So the old preacher said, look out for these small dangers that would destroy the vine, the aphid of indifference, the cankerworm of pride, the caterpillar of conceit, the grubworm of self-sufficiency. All of those will come in and draw out the precious life-giving juices of the vine. Nothing will more quickly destroy one vine, or an entire vineyard for that matter, than these quiet devils that dwell in every one of us by nature. Pride, conceit, self-sufficiency, indifference. And they would destroy us but for one thing. God says, I, the Lord, do keep it. Praise his holy name. He is keeping us. There are other creatures that would destroy us. Worldliness, selfishness, self-satisfaction, ambition. They're on and on and on. We can't keep ourselves. Now, we need to appropriate, however, we need by God's grace to appropriate the grace of God that can. Thank God our text does not say this, I, the Lord, have planted it, now I'll leave it to grow and flourish it and bring forth fruit and keep itself. I know that we must be watchful, but our watchfulness of ourselves is the result of God's watchfulness of us. Let me say this. In spiritual matters, it's not our next door neighbor that is our enemy. It's not the folks at work that is our enemy. We are our own worst enemy. Augustine used to pray, Lord, save me from that evil man, myself. We might quickly destroy ourselves, but not one of us can save ourselves or keep ourselves by ourselves. I'm telling you, friends, we must have the keeping power of our God. And the glorious truth is that we have it. We do have it. Christ, who's head over all things to the church, is keeping us. He is taking care of us. He's providing for us. And the Lord said, now, I, the Lord, do keep it. And then listen to this. I love this. He said, I, the Lord, do keep it, and I will water it every moment. Watering is an essential part of the gardener's business. The corn and beans are not going to bear fruit without water. The flowers cannot be kept in bloom without being watered. And so, as this vine must be kept by God, it must be watered by him as well. Listen, there is nothing that we possess spiritually that will thrive without God's watering. We need his word, and we need his spirit in our life. The soil in which this vine is planted is very dry. You who are born of God, you know that to be a fact. You need watering from the Spirit of God. Listen to me. I want to read to you a little passage that C.H. Spurgeon shared, and I love it. He said, the God who gave you your present set of trials knew that they were the best for you. If all the crosses in the world could be laid in a heap, and I were told to take my pick of all of the crosses, he said, I would choose the cross that I have now, for I know what it is. And God fits my back to the cross that he has given me. But I do not know the crosses that others bear. I have no proof that I could bear those crosses. You had better not take my troubles. You better not take my cross. It may crush you. While I can bear the cross through the divine grace that's given me, but if I had your cross might crush me. And while you can patiently bear your cross through God's grace, but there's nothing in this world that will help you with your cross. Listen to what he says. We need to draw the life-giving water from God alone. Isn't that amazing? There's beauty in this precious promise in those last two words. I will water it every moment. The fact that you're going through the things that you're going through today means that you can bear them. I know that you feel sometimes that you can't, but God wouldn't let you experience it unless he was going to give you the grace that was commensurate, that was an equal measure to the trials that you're experiencing. Whatever your trial is, God has grace sufficient equal to that trial. And it's not going to come every once in a while or intermittently, but he waters you every moment. His grace is perpetual. Now listen, you and I, we need to worship God. We need to go to the house of worship. That's good. We can't survive. But we can't survive on simply going to worship alone. We need to go to worship. There's a special blessing that's waiting on us in the house of God. But when we're not in God's house, we need the constant watering of grace. I read about a man of whom others said that he ate, drank, and slept Jesus Christ. How I wish that were true of me. We are commanded to pray without ceasing. God promises to water us with his grace without ceasing. Grant, O God, that I may experience that promise. Let my heart always be wrapped up in, immersed in, and draw life from Christ. Let him ever be in my heart and on my heart. Let me have my life full of Christ, watered every moment. He promises, I, the Lord, do keep my vineyard, my kingdom, my believers. I will water it and them every moment, lest any hurt it. No weapon that's formed against you is going to prosper. Listen, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Now you may feel hurt, but listen to me. You are not going to ultimately be hurt. You cannot ultimately be separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You cannot be separated. You cannot ultimately be hurt. And he only designs these difficulties and trials that you experience for your dross to consume and your gold to refine. And so carry that with you this next week as you go forward, that he is going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to water you every single moment. And so we trust that God, in his mercy, will grant you this peace, the peace of God, that passes all understanding. These truths bring peace as only he can bring peace. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you all.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.